Bibles tonight to Psalms chapter 90. Psalms chapter 90. We'll begin reading with verse number 12 and read to the end of that chapter. Speaking to the subject tonight, what will you leave behind? What will you leave behind? We're all going to take a journey, aren't we? We're all going to hear the call of God one day and go home to be with Him. And Scripture frequently reminds us that our days on this earth are few. It's going to mean something how we live and what we leave behind. The psalmist says, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto thy children, unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. And establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. Father, speak to our hearts now. Holy Spirit of God, feed us. Help us to grow spiritually. Make us stronger. As we think about this very important text, in Jesus' name, amen. If we read these scriptures tonight, it does challenge us to live our days in such a way that our Lord Jesus Christ will be pleased, and that we will leave a testimony of faithfulness for those who come behind us. Oftentimes, I am asked to speak at a funeral and to say a few words on behalf of someone who has preceded us in death. And it's a wonderful thing when that person's life has been such a clear testimony for Christ that I do not have to search for words with which to honor their memory. That is not always the case. In the Word of God, we find a number of meaningful epitaphs for saints who have gone before us. According to Webster, an epitaph is an inscription on a tomb, or a brief statement commemorating or epitomizing a deceased person. Someone has said, you will never amount to very much until you decide what you would like written on your tombstone. A one-sentence summary of your life that would remind the world of what you stood for and all that your life demonstrated and represented. I sometimes wonder what will happen after I'm gone. In my life, what will I leave behind for those who follow after me? I sometimes wonder what it would have been like if I had been among that faithful group that landed first on the American shores before it was known as America. Wonder if I would have put in place the laws that our forefathers put in place. What would I teach? What would I practice? What would I incorporate in the foundation of our nation to build a great nation and leave a legacy of truth and righteousness and strength for my followers? What will happen after we are gone. If the bands of God continue to be loosed and man gets to the point that he believes he has no final accountability, what then? You know, we are headed that direction. The darkest verse in the whole Bible may be the last verse of the book of Judges, where we find written, "In those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes." Judges 21:25. That verse appropriately summarizes the events of that book, the apostasy that took place, and the resultant wars of having no great leader. The days of the judges kind of reminds you of what's happening in our days of the judges, doesn't it? What will you leave behind? What kind of legacy will your children have to guide them? In Ruth chapter 2 and verse 16, we're introduced to a man by the name of Boaz, and we find that Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean," speaking of Ruth, "even among the sheaves, and reproach her not, and let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her." Leave something intentionally for her. In my younger days, great men of God left something on purpose for me to gather and to use. Most of those old men now, most of those great men now, are in their graves. But what they left me helped me and changed me. As they stood for the Word of God without compromise, these were great men who believed that the Word of God was the final authority. And you just didn't deviate from God's Word. I believe that was something of the mindset of our founding fathers, who laid the groundwork for our laws and for the legal system and for the government of our great nation. It seems like today there's a whole lot of effort being made to tear down those foundations and rip out those great founding stones that our forefathers put in place. But that's really another message. I want to ask you tonight, what do you want to leave behind? What will be your legacy as an individual? What will be my legacy? I would like for it to be said that I was faithful to the Lord, that I was devoted to Jesus Christ without compromise, and that I loved His church, tried to promote and strengthen His church in every way possible. I believe God is still working through His church. You can go to foreign lands today and preach and testify and maybe win some converts, but if you don't establish a church, your influence will soon be gone. It's that church, that meeting place, that group of fellow believers sticking together and coveting one with another to work together and to pray together and to worship together and to go out in a team, in a group, to evangelize and win others to Jesus. It's the church that keeps the testimony of Jesus Christ alive in the world today. Oh, how we need to leave an investment here that will help someone else. An influence, a legacy that will keep bearing fruit and winning souls even after we are gone. God, I believe, has a purpose and God has a goal for each of us in our personal lives. I believe God has a legacy in mind for each one here tonight. A legacy that is honorable. I believe God has an epitaph in mind for each of us that will be glorious and meaningful if we will but heed His call. I believe God is speaking. But are we hearing? What will we leave behind? Some will leave a legacy of failure. In those dark days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. A certain man in Bethlehem, Judah, went down to the land of Moab, he and his wife and two sons. Elimelech, his wife Naomi, two sons Mahlon and Chilion. Elimelech lost some things down there, and his two sons, his own life also. You could say his legacy was a legacy of failure. But the two sons had married, one to Orpah and the other to Ruth, and Ruth left for us a legacy of all of the family. It's the words of Ruth that seem to stand out in bold relief as she responds to her mother-in-law. When she says these words, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people. And thy God, my God. And where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." Ruth leaves for us a legacy of faith and love and trust and devotion. Scripture memorializes lives of many men and women. This morning I spoke about Enoch. Hebrews 11:5 says, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God." What a legacy that is. What a testimony to leave behind as an encouragement for those who follow. Enoch walked with God and had this testimony that he pleased God. That'd be a wonderful epitaph to have on your tombstone, wouldn't it? Only Enoch didn't have it on a tombstone. God just took him home to heaven. But he pleased God. Abraham. James 2:23 says, "And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." The people who know you best tonight, could they refer to you as the friend of God? Abraham had that title. Moses. Deuteronomy 34:5. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord, and he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab over against Beth Peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. Numbers 12:7-8. God said, my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth. Hebrews 3:5. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. Deuteronomy 34:10. There arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Elijah. James 5:17-18. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. 2 Kings 2:11, we're told Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven, chariots of fire and horses of fire. Elijah, the mighty, the great prophet, the faithful prophet of God. David. Acts 13:22, God gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. God saw in that young man, still in the house of his father, the qualities that pleased him, insomuch that he raised him up to be the king of Israel. 1 Kings 15:4-5, because David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord and turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. Hezekiah, 2 Kings 18, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And there weren't only men. There was Dorcas in Acts chapter 9. Her name was Tabitha, by interpretation, Dorcas, a woman full of good works and alms deeds. But the Bible says she got sick and she died. And they sent for Peter, and they showed Peter the coats and the garments that she had made while with them. And Peter eventually dismissed some people and turned his attention to Tabitha. And he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes and sat up, and Peter presented her alive to the saints and the widows. But a woman full of good works and alms deeds. Phoebe, Romans 16:1-2. She's referred to as, Paul refers to her as our sister, a servant of the church. So if you were to die tonight, how would those who know you best summarize your life? Sometimes I will be in the home of a person who is deceased, and I'll ask the family, what will your loved one be best remembered for? And I'll wait for an answer, and sometimes the answer really is not soon coming. Oh, we have the usual stuff. They were a good provider or a good mom and dad. What about the relationship with God? What kind of testimony did they leave behind concerning Him? How would your family describe your relationship with God? Your priorities, your contributions to the kingdom of Jesus Christ. If you could write your own epitaph tonight, what would it say? What would you like to have said? What would you like to have on your tombstone? If you go by the way of the grave before Jesus comes, how would you like to be remembered? What one line would describe your life? What legacy? What testimony do you want to leave behind? It will not be honorable in heaven if we should die famous, but rather if we were to die faithful, faithful to God. I don't know about you. I think I know. But I know my own heart. I want to hear Jesus one day say to me, say to Arnold Griffin, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I want to hear that. But more than I want to hear it, I want it to be true. Because I know the Lord's not going to lie about that. If I'm not good and faithful, if I have not fought the good fight, if I have not kept the faith, if I have not finished my course with honor, I don't think the Lord Jesus is going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," if I have not been good and faithful. Oh, to be able to look back on life without regret. To have the assurance that life was handled well. To be faithful against the confusing calls of this generation. To fight the good fight. To keep the faith. To finish a work for God. Is that your goal? Will that be your legacy? What will you leave behind? Leave something on purpose for the dear ones coming after. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race not only for the prize, but as those who've gone before us, let us leave for those behind us the heritage of faithfulness passed on through godly lives. After all our hopes and dreams have come and gone, and our children sift through all we've left behind, may the clues that they discover and the memories they uncover become the light that leads them to the road we each must find. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. Let us pray.